You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
All right, good. How are you guys this morning? Awesome. You doing all right? Good. It's good to see you. It's good to be here in your midst. And man, I don't know if you guys... how many here watch basketball at all? You guys? Oh my gosh! You know they knew that there it was going to be something said, and they like had prepared for that, right? So, and here's the thing. See, Donna wears her Auburn shirt, but here's who she has to play today. Let me see, University of Kentucky. So we'll see what happens. It'll be good. So anyway, I wasn't going to say a word, Donna, and here you are already starting it. So 2:20. So anyways, guys, good to have you guys here, man. Thank you so much for coming. Man, it's a beautiful day out there. Hopefully the temperature warms up. I think it will tomorrow. So, but anyways, nonetheless, thank you for coming. Listen, I don't know about you, but I have seen my household grow. And as we grow, we continue just to bring stuff in. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it seems like we bring a whole lot more in than what we take out. That's just the way it is. And you know, it seems as though we just continue to just accumulate. I mean, I used to have a garage that I could park my car in. Now it's full of big wheels and you know, all kinds of crazy stuff that I can't, you know, even, it just drives me sometimes crazy. But I used to be in the moving industry, and I helped sell moving services. That's what I did. I was a long time ago, I used to sell moves for a van line here in town, and I would not want to move me right now without any doubt. That's for sure. And I would go through with a cube sheet, and I would measure everyone's stuff. It's crazy, and that's how you base. It's based on volume and articles, and the volume and the articles. I mean, really, when you get down to it, it's just a lot of stuff. And you know, I look at my house and I see all this stuff. And even though when I hear someone, even though I don't need any more stuff, would you not agree? I'm sure you don't need any more stuff, right? And even though I don't need any more stuff, when I hear someone talk about wanting to downsize or sell their stuff, right? I'm thinking, man, I wonder if they got any good stuff. You know, as if I need to like go and, you know, bring in any more stuff. It's crazy. It's just nuts. What is it about stuff? I don't know. I know you have watched, as have I, the whole hoarder show, right? You know, and you see all this stuff in these people's houses. And I mean, they make shows about this, reality TV, about stuff. They collect stuff and it piles up and here's what the truth is when we really look at it. If I'm really honest with you this morning, there's a little degree of hoardership in me. And I think in all of us, right? All of us, in some extent, there's things we just don't want to part with, even though we don't, you know, pull it out or look. Every once in a while we may go and check out the fourth grade essay that we wrote or You know, look at the little arts and craft piece that we made in elementary school. I mean, that's all stuff. It's not worth anything, but it takes up space, and it's in our house. That's it. It's in our house. And as a matter of fact, for some of us, the job outside of here, my job outside of here, what I do outside of here is to help people find a place to keep their stuff. That's what houses are, right? I mean, you go and you show people houses, and what do they say? Oh, that can't do that. The garage isn't big enough, or I need more closet space. Why do you need more closet? Because they got more stuff than they can put in that closet space, right? It's crazy, and that's what this whole thing's about, right? And imagine this, the house, your house, is just a place for your stuff. If you didn't have a house and you didn't have all that stuff, well, man, be kind of freeing when you think about it, right? It'd be a lot cheaper to live. I could tell you that. And that's what a house is. It's just a place for your stuff with a cover on it. You know what I mean? And that's where you put your stuff. Tomorrow I'll be I have a work trip. I have to fly out of town for 2 days. And when I fly out of town, I'm going to take off and I'm going to see all these houses all over. And I'll probably see, you know, yours is in the midst of all that. So is mine. And I see all these little houses with covers on it. And really what it really amounts to, it's all little piles of people's stuff. We all have it. Stuff. The truth is we're stuffed. You know, I don't know if you guys remember that old George Carlin deal, but he talks about stuff, you know. He says you go on a trip, and what do we do? We pull out a bag or a suitcase. Why? Because we have to take a little bit of our stuff, right? And then we pack it on an airplane. We get to the hotel. We open up our suitcase, and we unpack our stuff. We're putting it in these little drawers, and we look around the room, and we see all this space. There's all this room. There's room in these closets. There's room in these drawers. And so what do? We're on vacation. What do? We go shop for more stuff to pack up our room. Pretty interesting, really, when you think about it. See, I believe we all have a little hoarder in us. All of us have stuff that we have. And here's what happens with all of our stuff, right? This is what happened. We leave little room and little space for God to do what he would like to do in our lives because of all the stuff. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about the physical stuff, but I'm talking about all of the stuff that goes on in our lives, man. There's all kinds of stuff that we worry about, stuff that we do, stuff that we entrench ourselves in. And we leave little space for God to do what he would like to do. And the truth is we're all looking for fulfillment. Not only are we looking, are we looking for fulfillment? And which leads us to a lot of times buy and fill our lives with more stuff. Not only do we have the issue, but the people of Jesus' day had the same issue. The people of Jesus' day also placed value on things that didn't matter. It was this part of, and in this part of the Bible, Jesus shares with them this message. This message is all about stuff. Would you like to hear it this morning? Thank you. I love that. Thank you so much. Would you like to hear it this morning? You're all supposed to say, yeah, Ryan, we would love to hear it this morning. Thank you so much. Matt, thank you. Thank you. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Jesus is talking about our stuff, and he's talking to them about their stuff. Look at what it says. Matthew 6, 19. It says, don't store up your treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Can you see this? This is all about stuff. It's all about stuff. Jesus is trying to get us to see that in storing up our stuff, Lord help me, we hoard too. We buy and consume things that we don't need, right? We fill our lives with things that really don't matter. And how big is your wish list? Let me ask you this. How big is your wish list on Amazon? So before I, while I'm crafting or trying to figure this out for this morning, I went on Amazon just to look at my wish list or you know, things that are on there. And I'm looking and it's amazing how Amazon, they're so tricky, you know? I mean, I buy one thing, then all of a sudden, boom, 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 these other things pop up. And before I know it, I mean, it's a lot easier to buy on Amazon than it is to buy at a department store, right? I mean, department store, you have to carry it out. Amazon flies a little drone to your house and lands a box at your front door. Maybe I'm exaggerating a bit, but the point is that it feels like that, right? I mean, and there's Amazon boxes filled with stuff at your front door. It's amazing how Amazon works in that way. I believe that the enemy works the same way. The enemy looks at us and says, oh, Ryan, if you like that, you're really going to like that. And he starts building or filling your life or putting things in front of you that steal your attention. And you begin to fill up the space in your life with stuff that really just doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we spend our attention on stuff that takes us away from discovering God's plan for our lives. And in verse 20, what Jesus is saying here is, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. This idea of storing your treasures in heaven. See, we can treasure what we have here on earth, but what's it say about the things here on earth? It says those things what? They rust, or they rot, basically, right? The thing, if we treasure the things in heaven, man, to the contrary, storing your treasures in heaven is all about giving your attention to things that have eternal significance. Instead of short-term gratification, that storing your treasures in heaven is about long-term investment. Jesus is encouraging us to spend our time and our energy, our time and our energy and our resources on stuff that can truly make a difference. And I think the challenge that we have, and what this is all about today, the challenge in our life right now is, how do we sort through right where we're at? How do we sort through where we are right now to get to a place where we can truly treasure, not the things on this earth, but treasure the things that the Lord is talking about, the things that really matter, the things that have eternal significance. Verse 21, and then Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. Did you know that we choose what we treasure? Think about that. We have a choice. Some things are to us are more valuable than others. What do you give your attention to? Or what you give your attention to is what you treasure. Think about that. What you give your attention to is what you treasure. It's what you value. How much time do you spend on your Bible app compared to the other apps on your phone? I'm not being judgmental. I mean, I have the same issue too. I'd be embarrassed to show you how much more time I have on my news apps, on my Bleacher Report, compared to my Bible app. It's a small example. I don't know. Perhaps it pertains to you, perhaps it doesn't, but that's not the question. The question is what do you give your attention to? What do you choose to value? Here's what I believe Jesus is saying to us in the scripture. He's saying to us to really understand, we're going to have, well, let me say this. To really understand this scripture, I believe we have to go forwards in this, or backwards in this chapter before we can go forward, okay? So what I want to do is go backwards in this chapter, because in this chapter, it begins to spell out some things to give us clarity. And what he begins to do is he begins to show us how we can make room and clear some space for us to really, really be able to see what's important and what's not. Are you here with me today? See, I think our lives are so cluttered, man. Our there's so much that's fighting for our attention and so much that's going on here. It's very difficult to treasure the eternal. When we have the enemy acting like Amazon. Tongue in cheek, right? So let's look at this. Jesus opens this chapter and he lays out three very simple principles that will change your life. I mean, sometimes like when I'm up here, I'll just be very honest. I don't like point one, two, three. You know, the point of this message is for us to make room, right? It's really to make room and clear some space. That's the point of this message. To make room and clear some space so that we can really grab a hold of an eternal perspective And my hope is, the outcome of this is that we then would begin to treasure what God wants us to treasure. So these three principles that Jesus lays out, it goes back to the beginning of this chapter in chapter 6. Look at verse 3 and 4. The first principle is this. In the midst of all your stuff, you can start this right now. Verse 3. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Let's just pause just for a second. This is very simple. Jesus is saying, give. And you know what? I mean, I'll tell you, I'm probably the chief among having stuff. But I know you're not far behind. And when we see this principle that says give, perhaps maybe it's give some of your stuff up, right? Give. Share. See someone in need and help them, you know? Find out what the need is. Give them what they need. I believe that we have the resources to help anyone that comes in here with a legitimately, because we have some that come in that, you know, legitimately, that have a need. The first principle with all this stuff, sorting through it all, making room and clearing space, is to give. And perhaps it's not your stuff. Okay, Ryan, it's not your stuff. Don't touch my stuff, Ryan. I'm not willing to give up my stuff. All right, don't give up your stuff. But what about your time? Don't give me your stuff. Look, you're cool. But what about your time? Give. Do you have time to give? You know, I tell you, one of the funnest things I do right now is I have a bunch of 11-year-old boys, you know? And I have to watch it because I want to make sure that I'm equally dispersing my attention between my kids, you know? And there's 3 months out of the year where I give one kid a little more attention during those 3 months, and then I try to make it up through the year with my other boys. But right now I'm in the middle of that, and I'm coaching this little baseball team, and it is so much fun. You know, I believe that God wants us to give our time. Give time. Give time to our kids. You know, Becca and Ashton and others put together this little community event yesterday, and it was so much fun. It was free, by all means. I mean, $3 for a pair of ice skates, but it was at the Kettering Rec Center. And a bunch of us from church, it was in the weekly for the last, I don't know, month or so. It was a community event at the Kettering Rec. And I was able to really visit with John, visit with Jen Helmond, and spend some time with Ella. And I'll tell you what, man, it was really a blessing to me to hear and get to know people a little, you know, outside of here. I appreciate them setting that up. But here's the truth. The truth is I was not done with my message yesterday. And I'm thinking, how in the world? I don't have any time. Sometimes the message prep, don't fire me when I say this, but sometimes the message prep is stuff. Being able to spend time with Ella and skate around there, and Ella was holding me up. Yeah. Ella was holding me up, and Casey looked at me, and there was like this 80-year-old lady on skates, and she's like whipping around like Dorothy Hamill or whatever that chick's name is, and that Olympian figure skater. And Casey looked up at me, and she says, "See, Ryan, look." And I'm like, "What's she talking about?" And she's referencing age here, right? If this 80-year-old woman can do it, Ryan, you as an old man can do it. Anyways, it's kind of funny. But the point is that God wants us to give of our time, right? And here's the truth. You know, when you give of your time and you give of your talents and you give of your treasures, man, God begins to sort through your stuff and he begins to give you a little glimpse of giving gives you a glimpse of what eternal perspective is all about, folks. You know, when you begin to give to the church, God blesses that and honors that. And I could line up testimony after testimony after testimony of folks that have been truly blessed. And I never speak on, probably not enough, on tithing. But I'm telling you, there is an element of that that God moves and blesses. And if this ministry is not the ministry that God's calling you to give to, find a ministry that is. I just want you to give and experience the blessing. Make room and clear some space so God can work in your life. Look, here's the second life-changing principle. It's in Matthew 6:6. It's so simple. He moves from giving to praying. Praying. Verse 6:6. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. About a year ago, we instituted this thing, and I think we need to bring it back. And there's a Facebook page associated with it. And I just want to bring this to your attention, but it's the 15-minute protocol. It's just if you're struggling with prayer, your prayer life, just spend 15 minutes in prayer. 15 minutes with God every day. Just listen and pray and break that down, and God probably will begin to clear more space and stuff out of your life for you to move in. You're going to say, you know what? This 15 minutes, I'm getting a really big bang for my time here, and you begin to clear more space out because you want to spend more time with the Lord. I'm telling you, there's something big about it. The Lord says to us, ask, man, ask of Him. He says, you have not because you ask not. You know, and He's not talking about stuff here. He's talking about His grace. He's talking about His healing. He's talking about things that offer us eternal blessing and meaning and purpose. If I go and meet with an attorney, folks, it's going to cost me. It costs me $150 to what? $250, $300 an hour, right? If I see my doc for 15 minutes, what is it now on a copay? $40, $50, $70? Heck, I don't know. If I go see a counselor, what is that? $125 for an hour and a half session? Let me ask you this question. How valuable do you think it is that at any point we can communicate with the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end? God has cleared His schedule for us to communicate with Him. For us to seek His advice, for us to seek His counsel, for us to ask for healing. God has cleared His space. He's cleared his calendar for us. We have open accessibility. But the enemy moves in our lives and distracts us and pulls us away and tricks us up on us thinking that we can find fulfillment in our stuff rather than God. Lord, help us. Bring truth to us this morning. When we make room and clear space, I think you would agree that our stuff is just not that important. Right on? Look at three. Third life-changing principle, and I'm almost done. Third life-changing principle is in Matthew 6, 17 and 18. I believe that this principle is kind of like a hidden gem, man. This is significant. It's powerful. Matthew 6, 17, 18. But when you fast, now he goes into this, comb your hair and wash your face. I guess some folks, when they would fast, they wanted everyone to know that they were really super religious, and so they wouldn't comb their hair. They look real disheveled and make sure their face was all dirty, right? And they'd say, oh, and it's sinking their cheeks like, that, you know, and then they want everyone to know that they were holy and fast. That's not what Jesus is talking about. It's not about what people think, right? That's what he's trying to say here. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will what? Will reward you. Folks, here's the truth. The third principle is no different than the first two. When you give, God rewards you. When you pray, God rewards you. When you fast, God rewards you. Folks, there is reward in lining ourselves up with Jesus' teachings. When you begin to clear space, make room, clear space in your life, and you begin to make room to give, pray, and fast, God moves and gives you eternal perspective and reward and blessing. Folks, here's the deal. Man, I remember going to South Korea. I remember going to South Korea and going to Cho's church. There's a million people at the time. There was like 700,000 or 800,000. Now it's grown up above that. I'm not sure where it's at now, but what I do know is that there was like this move of God. Okay, revival is a big word. What in the world's revival? But I can say this: there was a move of God that went all over and spread all over Seoul, Korea, right? And people experienced the Lord like they've never experienced it because these people made room for God. They began to give. They begin to pray. They begin to seek God. They begin. They would go to this place called Prayer Mountain, and I remember as the story has it, Cho's mother-in-law went up to. She would go up to prayer. They called it Prayer Mountain. They go up there and they would just spend time with God and fast, because they wanted more than anything for God to come and save their people, their family, to save their community. When you give up something, you begin to make room for something else. That's what fasting's all about. People say, well, what is fasting? I can't fast for 40 days and 40 nights. I've got dietary needs. We do. I understand that. God's not just talking about food. When you begin to when you give up something, that's what fasting is. You go without. God begins to make room for Him to work in your lives. Does that make sense? There's something inside you. You're thinking, man, I'm hungry. Or man, I would really like that Tim Horton coffee. I'm writing this message. I'm thinking, oh, God, please, not the coffee. I'll fast whatever, not the Tim Hortons. I'm just joking. But the truth, no, I'm kind of not. But the point is that you know, you desired to eat, or you desire to watch your favorite show, or you desire to get on your phone, or you desire to do these things. And when you that desire comes up, it reminds you that you're in a place where you're giving that up because you want God to bless you and anoint you and to hear you and answer your prayers. And what happens is, it's not a magic formula, but God sees that. He finds favor in that, that you love Him that much that you want to sacrifice something for Him. I don't know what that is for you, but man, I will promise you this. If you've got an issue with stuff in your life, and if you're serious about trying to clear space and make room for God, man, if you give, pray, and fast, this comes straight from Jesus, man. I'm not making this stuff up, right? I can't make this stuff up. I'm not that smart, right? I'm not that good. Jesus makes this, He gives us these directives, man. These three principles: if you give, you pray, and you fast, there is a dispensation of God's grace that comes and fills us and helps us. He manifests itself within us. Guys, I just want to encourage you, man, to make space for the Lord. Make some room for Him. My Uncle Keith, he says this. He says, the more you have, the more you're responsible for. Think about that. And he's talking about, and I'll tell you, he's one of the most giving people I know. And he's also one of the most wealthiest people I know. The more you have, the more you're responsible for. Responsibility brings worry and concern. And that's what our stuff does to us, doesn't it? Here's what Jesus says about our stuff. Now, we started in that verse. We started in the middle of this chapter, right? In Matthew chapter 6:19. Don't store up your treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. He says, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. All right, we talked about that. And then in Matthew chapter 6, 19, we went backwards. And we looked at where Jesus was going with that. The idea of giving, the idea of praying, the idea of fasting, and how that brings change and transformation in our lives. I believe we needed to go backwards to go forwards. Now let's go forwards. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. Here's what Jesus says about our stuff. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? See, that's all our stuff, right? Verse 32, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. He knows your needs. Let me tell you, you may here today be a follower of Christ. You may here today may not be a follower of Christ. I want to encourage you to listen to what Jesus is saying here, because obviously he wants all of us to believe in him. Those of us that choose to believe in him, know this, that your Father knows your needs. God knows my needs. He knows my need. And I'm sure he looks and he sees and he says, man, Ryan's at it again. Ryan is trying to meet that need, you know. I wish he'd just come to me. He sees all this stuff that's all around me, and he's like, man, if Ryan would just choose to clear out some space and make some room, he would really know that I can meet his need. Verse 33, then he goes to verse 33. And guys, this is powerful. It says this, Jesus says this. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Folks, that is the good news, man. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is freeing, and it's a blessing. Let's all stand. Father God, as we close out this morning, this first service, I pray that not one person walks out of here knowing your love for them. Knowing, God, that you sent your son Jesus to come and make a way in the midst of all of our stuff, in the midst of all of our confusion, in the midst of all of our lack of space, you came to make a way for us to have a relationship with you, a way for us to find you. And I pray that this message, as Lord, everyone here, everyone that's here this morning is no different than me, God. We all have a need. We all have a hurt. We all are in a state, God, where we're overwhelmed. And I just pray for your peace to come. And I just pray that you would make a way for these people to experience you. And Lord, we also understand as a part of your gospel message that there is nothing in and of ourselves that we can make, you know, happen. It is only by way of your grace. It is only by way of your love for us that we can give, that we can pray, and that we can fast. So Lord, bless my friends and help them, God, and help them. Before we go this morning, with every head bowed, and I would never call anyone out, but you this morning, if you would just right where you're at, just lift up your hand, and I will know this week to pray for you.
I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands all over. I see those hands. Thank you so much. Thank you. So, Lord, I pray a prayer blessing over my friends. Help them to connect with you this morning. Help them to connect with you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, before you go, I want to challenge you this week. We're moving to Good Friday, and we're moving to Easter. We're like 3 weeks out. And I would just encourage you, every one of these weeks, and Ashton next week when he speaks, he's going to pick up where we left off. But I want to challenge you this week. Would you mind just taking me up on this? Would you mind just carving out a little space and in some small way, give? Big or small, but give. In some small way, the 15-minute protocol, or just spend 15 minutes a day with the Lord, or whatever time, but pray. Give, pray, and choose to give up something. And I'm telling you, man, you will see life change. Hey, God bless you guys, and have a great week.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.